Behind the Knife, the surgery podcast, where we take a behind-the-scenes, intimate look at surgery from leaders in the field.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Knife. We are doing this episode to highlight some of the meetings, events at the American Society of Colorectal Surgeons meeting in Los Angeles this year. And we have with us Dr. Kyle Colon and Dr. Anjali Kumar, who agreed to give us that rundown. In addition, Dr. Steele joins us with colleague Josh Blair to give us the highlights of the highly talked about rectal cancer panel. Guys, do you mind introducing yourselves and telling us where you're currently practicing and maybe tell us how long you've been part of ASCARS?
Sure. This is Kyle Colon. I'm practicing out of Los Angeles at the University of Southern California. I've been an ASCARS member since I was a resident, and so it's been about 5 years now that we've been increasingly involved in ASCARS, so it's a great organization.
Hi, I'm Anjali. I'm in Seattle, Washington as well, and I'm at Virginia Mason Medical Center, their first colorectal surgeon. And I've been involved in the ASCRS since I was a fellow in colorectal surgery, which was in 2008. And I have the privilege of serving as the chair of the Young Surgeons Committee for the ASCRS.
Oh, great. So I guess the meeting's going very well. I'm hearing a lot of things on Twitter about it. Can you just maybe talk a little bit about how the social media at the conference this year has been, you know, a huge goal of the conference to increase and enhance the presence of the conference?
Sure. So I'll speak a little to that. I also have the privilege of being the social media chair. And as an aside, I just want to tell you guys, everybody at the Behind the Knife, you guys rock.
What you guys
have put together from a podcast and a social media standpoint, you guys are certainly writing the book on podcasting, but particularly surgical podcasting. And we appreciate all you do. And also, thanks for helping us out with the Society's podcast, with the DCNR, Society Journal, Disease of the Colon Rectum. We couldn't have done it without your help. So thank you for all that you've done.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Particularly this year at the meeting, we've tried to really incorporate social media into what the sessions are. So everything from within the meeting application, you can automatically follow the hashtag that we've set up for the meeting to just the increasing discussion on ideas. So the other thing is we had our first ever social media symposium, which was very well attended and got a lot of great feedback on how surgeons in particular can incorporate social media into their practice, because it can be a tricky thing to do.
Okay. And I heard you're having a lot of retweets and your Twitter presence has been crazy this year.
Yeah. So if you look, there's something called Simpler, which tracks the meeting hashtags. And so this year we've had over 6.5 million impressions done for the ASCRS16 hashtag, which is pretty impressive considering that there's about 2,000 people that attend the conference. And we got tweets by over 300 different individuals.
That's great. You know, every conference I've been to this year so far, and what's the, ASC, SAGES and ASMBS. I mean, the social media presence is becoming so important to them. And why do you guys think it is that, you know, people are focusing on us now?
Well, I think it's an easy way to spread information. We live in an age that's so digital savvy, and people want information and they want it at the tip of their fingertips. And social media in particular has been a way to do that. For Twitter, at least, at 140 characters at a time. And so you pack a lot of information into a short amount of time.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a whole little world of surgical tweeters out there. And he gets the information out, the new data coming out of studies as well. So, and Dr. Kumar, how are you enjoying the conference?
Oh, it's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think especially the social media, to see how much it's blossomed from last year compared to this year within our society. You had asked Kyle a question that I'll take a stab at answering, which is how social media has impacted this conference. I think one of the other things that we all manage is that we're all extremely busy. And even At the conference, there were multiple people who were surgeons in LA who couldn't, you know, attend all of the meeting. Obviously, it's hard for people to get time off of work. It's hard for people to apply for their program directors to give them time off of residency to come. But social media allows you to track what's going on at the meeting without being there. As part of the symposium, we talked about that FOMO, fear of missing out. And you can literally be in two places at one time or multiple places at one time and really get the gist of what is happening at the conference by following a hashtag.
Yeah. And is there any maybe your favorite talks that stand out to you this year so far? Dr. Colonel Kumar, either one you could take that.
Sure. So there's been a couple of talks that have been extremely popular this year. As you have had on your podcast, one of the things that's come out recently is this role of laparoscopy in rectal cancer. Mm-hmm. So we actually had a dedicated session entirely to that. And I mean, this was a standing room only talk session. So that was probably one of the more popular talks. There's also been one of the other ones that we've heard was very popular was the one on research and how to set up not only your own research program, but things like how to write a good paper, everything from creating your hypothesis to putting your data together to what happens when you get a submission, and even on the reviewing side, what are some tips and tricks for all that? So those have been some of the really popular sessions.
I'm just curious because unfortunately I wasn't able to make the meeting this year. Was the rectal cancer talk like more of a debate, or was it like a symposium, or was there like a panel up there talking about each of the giving their opinions on the paper?
Sure. So it was a little bit of all of that. And I think as you saw from when Dr. Fleshman had him on your mm-hmm. podcast, there's some concerning new data regarding the role of laparoscopy in rectal cancer. And this session was really designed to be a clarification of that. So the things that they talked about were, you know, these trials were non-inferiority trials. And what does that mean from a statistical standpoint versus superiority trials? And what are the implications of that? And so I think the bottom line coming out of all of that was that we don't have all the answers yet.
Oh, great. And, you know, I always enjoy the parts of the conference being a resident of how to do research and how to do it efficiently and, you know, the new things out there. And I know ASCAR especially pushes have residents to join as new candidate members and maybe as and pushes research. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
So we have a huge emphasis on young surgeons getting involved in the society early. One of the things that we did this year that we're going to continue on for years to come is we conducted a mock oral board exam for colorectal residents and trainees who have recently graduated. And it was a phenomenal event, both in the sense that it tapped the expertise and participation of people who have recently been certified by the American Board of Colorectal Surgery. It gave them an opportunity to provide a service to their peers who are preparing for this exam. And it also drew people together to collaborate on ways that they could prepare for the exam. We did a symposium specific to that called Board Certification and Beyond, mm-hmm. which obviously hit on preparation for the board, but also how to set up your first practice, how to transition your practice from one place to another early in your career, and what it's like to not pass your boards and how you recover from that. And it was a particularly well-attended and impactful symposium.
Oh, great. That does sound interesting. Now, Dr. Steele also mentioned to me, you know, to ask you guys about, you know, funds available for research through ASCARS. Dr. Klein, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. So there's been a dramatic increase in the total amount of funding that's available through partnership with various other societies such as SAGES, some industry grants. So there's a lot of money just sitting there waiting for an enthusiastic resident with a great project to come along and apply for it. So mostly through the ASCRS Research Foundation, there's several different grants that are available that you can apply for and get money to fund whatever project you want to do.
There's funds available for medical students and for residents and young investigators. And there's a career development award for those who are just starting their practice. And ASCRS is not the only society that has these kinds of awards available. The SSAT has a career development award and SAGES. And I'm mentioning just those two because I'm obviously focused on lower intestinal surgery, and those three organizations really also allow people who have a special interest in lower intestinal surgery to post a project for grant review. One of the exciting things that happened this year was that two young surgeons won pretty distinguished awards within the society for their original research. And one of those individuals, Dr. Karagunas from Cleveland, Ohio, was the recipient of the SAGES Career Development Award, and his abstract, which was entitled Simvastatin Enhances Radiation Sensitivity of Colorectal Cancer Cells by Targeting EGFR, RAS, and ERK Axis, was awarded the ASCRS Best Paper Award. We also have a research forum just dedicated to general surgery residents. And the winner of that award was Dr. Sugru from Park Ridge, Illinois. And the topic of his abstract was, should we eat the cost of donuts? There's no clinical benefit from routine histologic examination of donuts after an LAR for rectal cancer. So it just is a wonderful example of how residents and young surgeons are out there really questioning the norm.
And so I think you can see from that that I really credit the leadership of the society to focusing on resident and medical student education, for that you're not competing with somebody perhaps more experienced for grants, because we know how that intimidating that can be, but also being able to present your research in a forum that, again, would be slightly less intimidating. So it's a great way for young budding investigators to get their work out there and get recognized.
And how amazing for healthcare economics too. I mean, we're in a changing time where all of us are thinking about cutting costs of healthcare. And these are two abstracts that you add something simple like a statin, which isn't that expensive, and it can potentiate your response to treatment for rectal cancer. And then the other abstract that I mentioned, you know, it's going to change my practice. I might not be sending those donuts anymore. Or if I do, I might just send the distal one and not the proximal one.
That's all great. And congratulations to both of those winners. Now, the last question I have, how do people access these funds? Can you apply for them through the website, or what's the methods of doing that?
So most of them, they're through you can access these through the FASCRS.org website, mm-hmm. and there's an offshoot of that to the ASCRS Research Foundation. And then on there, it'll go through the various categories in which awards you can apply for.
Okay.
And they do tend to specify the amount of each award, the criteria. So read through those and figure out which one is the most appropriate.
Okay, perfect.
And one of the members of the Young Surgeons Committee for ASCRS just won the Career Development Award. His name is Tim Ridolfi, and he's a basic science researcher. And his first go-around through the grant application process was very typical, unsuccessful, but he was able to take the feedback that he received from the Research Foundation and modify his grant proposal to then clinch it this year. And he's now going to be able to dedicate, you know, 70% to 80% of his time to focus on his basic science research. And one of the other wonderful things that the Research Foundation does is it provides a list of all the past recipients. So when people do get interested in applying for these kinds of things, they can reach out and talk to the past recipients and see what tips and tricks they have.
I think that's a great point. I've been to a couple of different research talks, and having submitted a couple of unsuccessful grants myself, the thing that I keep hearing over again is it's just like baseball. The people that hit the home runs in baseball, the top home run leaders, are also the people that strike out the most. So if you don't succeed at first, don't get discouraged. There's plenty of money out there to apply again. So keep up, keep at it.
All right, great. And I guess the question we ask a lot of people at conferences of how have you seen ASCRS change at the meeting, I'm sorry, excuse me, the annual meeting change over the years? And then, you know, is there anything that's is new this year for you?
Well, I think in the last couple of years, there's been some new sort of fun additions. We've added the after hours debates. This year also was a family feud where we put the former ASCRS presidents up against the up and coming individuals and tested them on a bunch of trivia to see who was smarter.
And to put in a plug for next year's meeting, which is actually going to be in my hometown of Seattle in the middle of June, June 10th, 2017, our welcome reception will be at the Experience Music Project Museum dedicated to media and pop culture. Gives a great atmosphere in which we can all mingle and get to know each other and really inspire general surgery residents to consider colorectal surgery as a field. And then the other thing that we're pursuing, introducing, is TED Talks and integrating technology and education in a really fun, savvy way to spread the word about our field and the innovations.
Well, definitely looking forward to that meeting, especially Seattle in June is an amazing time to be here. So, and then the TED Talks as well. I know, and then the year after in 2018, in Nashville, Dr. Eric Johnson is going to be chairing the committee. Is that correct?
That's correct. And actually, he gave an amazing TED Talk at SAGES this year about skydiving and a fiasco. So I encourage everyone to Google that, Eric Johnson SAGES TED Talk.
All right, great. All right, well, I guess I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit and just kind of round everything out. I'd like to hear from both of you of, you know, what chose you, what made you go into colorectal surgery? It's kind of a very broad question. Is there anything specific about it that made you choose that specialty?
So I get that question a lot, and my first response was from everybody was kind of exactly as you said, why would anybody want to do colorectal surgery? That sounds disgusting. But for me, it was a couple of things. Number one, I've had some great mentors along the way, from Ted Sakalaridis to Anthony Senegor were two individuals in particular that really influenced my decision. But also, if you look at colorectal surgeons, there is so much that we can do, from little anorectal cases to big cancer cases to colonoscopy. It just really makes your day exciting, just the number of possible things that you can do. You can do cancer surgery, you can do benign surgery. So it keeps things interesting and keeps you coming to work every day.
So I took a pretty circuitous path to arrive at my career in colorectal surgery. As a woman in medicine, I was interested in helping women with medical issues, and logically I pursued OBGYN initially until I realized that I didn't enjoy delivering babies. So my medical student classmate said, well, why don't you do gynecologic surgery? But it meant that I still had to do, Q4 L&D call, which I wasn't too thrilled about. So I started, thinking about other potential fields, took a year off, got a public health degree. And right before I left to get my MPH, I did a rotation in surgery, my mandatory rotation. I was expecting that I wouldn't like it, and then I just loved it. There was something about the companionship and the like-mindedness of the people that I was with that was just sort of a calling. And then within general surgery, I still had the women's health focus. I did 2 years of basic science and clinical research with Dr. Laura Esserman at UCSF in breast care, breast cancer research. But when I went back to my two chief years, I missed being in the abdomen, and I loved the opportunities that laparoscopy had ahead of me. So I opted to go into colorectal surgery, and there were a lot of parallels, actually, between the research that I had done in breast cancer and what is now evolving in the field of rectal cancer management. You know, just like in breast, where we used to approach everybody with cancer with a radical mastectomy, and now we've evolved completely to offer so much local control and sometimes non-operative control. The same thing is going on in rectal cancer right now, where we are really pursuing the options in organ preservation and local excision. It's an exciting time. And then there's laparoscopy as well. So I would echo what Kyle said. It's a field that offers just a ton of variety both in the kinds of complex issues that we deal with and also the patient population. We have patients who we treat who have disease that's very easy for us to treat, like some of our anorectal patients. But the impact that we make on their life is phenomenal. And then we have very complex patients in, for example, inflammatory bowel disease. So there's just a huge breadth. It gives me a great deal of job satisfaction to work in so many places in the hospital, the endoscopy suite, the ICU, the clinical floors, the operating room, the clinic, bouncing around to all those places and meeting the great variety of patients that we interact with. That's what keeps me very vibrant and active during my week.
Well, that's great. Well, both of you, thank you for joining us on Behind the Knife today and giving us some updates from the ASCAR meetings, especially for those who can't make it this year. It sounds like rectal cancer has been a hot topic of conversation and the meeting is going great. So thank you both.
Thank you. Looking at the list of guests that you guys have had on your podcast, we are both extremely honored that you would invite us to do it. And I also want to say that doing a podcast myself with Dr. Steele for our journal, DCNR, there's an incredible amount of work that goes into all the post-production and publishing it. So anybody that doesn't do any podcast probably doesn't know how much extra work you guys do. So thank you for all that.
I'd also just like to give you guys a shout out. BTK is just such an amazing way to unite young surgeons. You have a followership that is interested in many different things, and we just don't get enough exposure in general surgery residency to arrive at a choice at our specialty. And you're doing your part to expose medical students and residents to many different fields in surgery, and we really appreciate the opportunity to talk about colorectal and how exciting it is.
I know. Yeah, it, as a resident, definitely almost makes it a little confusing when I hear about all these awesome specialties. So,
and when I went through my residency training, I didn't have any colorectal mentors. Mm-hmm. So there might be other people who are out there who are in a similar boat, but by providing the podcast that you are to really talk to the giants, you get a sense like you know them. You hear what trials and tribulations they went through to get to where they are, and it's just been phenomenal. I'm a huge fan.
It's been a blast doing it. All right,
good
guys.
Hope so. Thank you guys for inviting both of us.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the conference.
All right, so we're very pleased to be here in sunny Los Angeles, California, site of the 2016 Society of Colorectal Surgeons meeting, and I'm here with my fellow vice chair of the program, Dr. Josh Blyer, who's an associate professor of surgery out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the University of Pennsylvania. Josh, welcome to BTK.
Thanks very much, Scott. Really a pleasure to be here. So one of the highlights that was really probably one of the most unique aspects of this particular ASCARS was the Rectal Cancer One Symposium, which was the Trials of Rectal Cancer. It's led by Dr. Connor Delaney and Jim Fleshman. And it was really the first time that we've had an opportunity to have such high-powered randomized controlled trials looking at all the different aspects of laparoscopic versus open, and as well as having the robotic platform with rectal cancer. Josh, can you touch a little bit about the different?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. This is, you know, this session was unique. I mean, this truly would have been a plenary session at any of the biggest surgical meetings in the country. You had the five major trials of minimally invasive approaches to rectal cancer with their primary authors, five randomized controlled trials, some different conclusions, but really one of the most relevant questions that we are asking right now in the treatment of rectal cancer. Jim Fleshman, of course, discussing the ACASAGA Z6051 study. Jay Hwan Oh discussing the Korean trial. We had Andrew Stevenson from Australia discussing the a la carte trial. We had Alessio Pagazzi from right here in California discussing the ROLAR study, and Dr. Bonger discussing the COLOR 2 trial. And then we had Dr. John Munson at the end really doing a great job of pulling it all together and putting it in perspective.
So one of the unique aspects of this is, as some of the listeners of the BTK in the past have heard, kind of Jim Fleshman go through the ACASAG trial and talk about the trials and tribulations of laparoscopic approach for rectal cancer, was the fact that you know, the differing outcomes and, you know, the short-term versus long-term outcomes. So we heard, I asked the question on a previous edition of Jim saying, is laparoscopy for rectal cancer dead? And he said, you know, maybe right now where we're at, maybe we should put this on hold outside of trials, and which was a very surprising answer to me. But when you consider when they talk about, you know, the positive circumferential resection margin in that particular trial versus some of the other outcomes that we asked about in the a la carte trial or the Color 2 trial, where they talked about, you know, short-term versus long-term outcomes. And the other unique aspect was the fact that, you know, they used and kind of mirrored in many cases the protocols for each other. So they tried to, for the first time, say, let's make this and the outcomes as much as possible together so that we compare and contrast the trials. I think even Jim mentioned it, is that they're waiting, obviously, on the long-term outcomes. We talked a little bit about that, but this was definitely a packed house. It was standing room only. As a matter of fact, it was out the door at one of our primary meeting halls. And I think I encourage everybody to take a look at these different trials because it really is changing in the way that we approach laparoscopy and minimally invasive approaches for rectal cancer. And then when you throw in the cost mixture, you know, ROLAR showed that, you know, the equivalent outcomes are no better outcomes at a minimum, but also with the added issue regarding cost and the robotics, Josh, where are we headed towards all of this?
You know, I think we learned a lot from how we approached minimally invasive approaches to colon cancer. And I think it's important that we keep that perspective when we are looking to apply this to rectal cancer. It's a much more difficult type of operation, and it's a little bit of a different beast. Rectal cancer is less forgiving, more aggressive stage for stage. There's no doubt that minimally invasive approaches are here to stay. These are tools which are necessary, and they're going to be applied to rectal cancer. What's really important is that we do the right thing and trying to figure out what is safe for the general population, and what is cost effective. You know, whether it's going to be a robotic approach or a straight laparoscopic approach, we need to figure out the right way to do this. And these trials are the best way to start. But I do think it's very important that before we commit ourselves and before we define a standard of care, we do need to look at long-term outcomes, and we need to think about practical aspects of things. If you can only do minimally invasive rectal cancer surgery using a robot and you can't afford a robot, it's very hard to say that that's going to be standard of care, because then you're really going to, you know, limit it to only the centers of excellence that can also afford a robot. I think we need to better define the tools and better define the outcomes and do this in the right way.
So I know you guys had an opportunity to talk to Anjali, who is next year's program chair, as well as Kyle Colon, who's a social media out spec, that have gone over some of the different aspects of this. And just as a gentle reminder, obviously I have a colorectal type slant here on BTK, being a colorectal surgeon. And next year, June 10th through the 14th, in beautiful Seattle, Washington, out by you guys. We're looking forward to that. And
yep.
Josh, thanks for joining us on Behind the Knife.
Thanks very much, Scott. It was a pleasure.
We look forward to seeing you all there.
Well, that does it for us today on Behind the Knife. Just a quick rundown of the highlights of the 2016 ASCRS conference in Los Angeles.
Until next time, dominate the day.